The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It was a somber weekend on the sports front. And you're like, well, what are you talking about? The Cardinals destroyed Dallas. Yeah, in August. Everything's about John McCain today. And I've got other stuff I'm going to work in. Brock Huret is going to be with us at 10:50 this morning. We will talk college football because it is the opening week for Arizona State and for the U of A. We have a Heisman Trophy candidate and Khalil Tate in our state. We have two new head coaches. There's a lot of interesting storylines on the college football front for Brock Huret. But Senator McCain was a huge sportsman. You guys know this in watching the show through the years. He was a very frequent guest on our show. This wasn't a once or twice thing. I went back through our archives, and there were several times where we had the senator on the air, and when I was at Channel 3 and when I was at KTAR. So I think talking about his sports impact, because, look, if you're a Coyote fan, I don't think the Coyotes would still be here today if it weren't for Senator McCain. If you're a Diamondback fan, I don't know if the Diamondbacks would have come to life as they did. I think Jerry still would have pushed it across the finish line, but Senator McCain certainly helped out and was there for the journey. John McCain would get on my case on a number of subjects, and we'll talk about that in a couple of moments. But Jeff Scott is going to be in studio with us, I believe, at 10:20. Jeff's in a meeting down the hall here at Skyview. So I'm hopeful that he's here at 10:20. It may be 10:30. But Jeff is someone, the director of news here at Skyview. He also was a longtime news voice at KTAR and was also at Channel 10. Jeff knew John and had Senator McCain here in this same studio and was in D.C. with him several times. He sent me some audio of a senator complaining about the Dodgers, the senator's just hatred of the Dodgers. Senator McCain hated the Dodgers on the air with us at times, too, because of them peeing in the pool and all that stuff, just the whole Beat L.A. thing. So when John McCain passed away on Saturday afternoon, it caught me on a number of fronts that I will share with you as today's show moves on. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and you've got to do that, guys, through life insurance. When was the last time you looked at your financial portfolio and said, you know what? I don't have anything going, Brad. I've actually got a little bit of money over here from something that came along in my life. Could have been a medical settlement, or could have been an inheritance, something along those lines, and I've just been sitting here on it. What should I do? Log on to Sagicor Now and then just look at your life insurance. Do all that and do it with Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Jeff Scott here shortly. Brock Huret comes up at 10:50. So I think on the McCain front, we'll just start there. I got the word around 4:30 on Saturday afternoon that he had passed away. And I sat in my office, and I had Hawaii, Colorado State on. I wanted to watch college football. And before I knew it, I poked my head up from the computer, and it was like 6:30, and I hadn't watched one down. It was one of those deals where we knew that it was coming. We knew that it was something that was going to hit hard. We knew it was something that was going to shake this state. If you've consumed any media over the last about 36 hours, you cannot go a moment or two. You certainly cannot go through a commercial break here locally without seeing something on Senator McCain. I've had to have conversations with my kids on the impact of Senator McCain because my eighth grader is going to be asked about it today in his civics class. My son, who's in his late 20s, wanted to talk about it last night over dinner. One of my daughters, she wanted to talk about it. She's in her mid-20s. She works in the ministry. It's crossing over all segments. It's crossing over all lines. The amount of national attention on Senator McCain's passing, this is not just a senator from South Dakota, no offense to South Dakota, or from wherever else in our country. This was somebody that was revered, and some people have taken the tact of trying to stomp on his grave, which I think is, you know, deplorable. If you don't agree with someone's politics, you really have to sit out there and put it out on social media and pretend like you've got all the answers when people are in mourning. Can you save it for another day? So on my end, my first conversations with Senator McCain were when I was in my late 20s. I had just come to Phoenix. I was at Suns games hosting their pre- and post-game show. And so when you're in that role of being at Suns games and you're hosting pre- and post-game shows, it means you're right there on the floor. And when you're on the floor, you look right across from you, and there are people, it didn't matter if it was Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson or Senator John McCain or Phil Mickelson and his new wife, Amy. They were all there. So you'd run in and talk to these people often. In Senator McCain's space, he would hear me on the air and suggest that I try to be a bit more positive at times. Or when he was frustrated with somebody on the court, this was before the Diamondbacks started, he would voice his displeasure, but he wouldn't do it on the air. He would not do it because the sports was an escape for him at night. There were many times we had him on this show, and Senator McCain was a little foggy the next morning, a little bleary-eyed by his own admission because he was doing what he put God's work in the city of Satan. It was one of his great lines that he would use with us on the air. But he would be up till 2 a.m. watching the Diamondbacks play. He could recite how somebody performed for the Diamondbacks. And this is through the years. And it didn't matter if I'd see him at a game and I'm on the TV side back in the 2000s or in doing this platform for the last 7 years. Senator McCain was almost always available to come on the show and viewed our conversation as what it should be with sports. And that is an escape for 8 to 10 minutes. Some people hated that segment. Some people didn't like the fact that a senator would be taking time away from his civic duty or what they were paying, what we're paying for him to, and he's sitting there talking sports with. So you just didn't get what his role was or anybody's role is that sports at times for him was a way to be involved in the fabric of the community without sitting there saying, look at me, I'm here at the Diamondbacks game. No, I never found him to be that way. It was, this is my little workout, my little mental escape from some really important stuff that we would be doing through the years. And if it's at 11 o'clock at night and he could recite a Curt Schilling start against the Dodgers when things are on the line, or if he's in San Francisco and the Diamondbacks are trying to clinch the National League West, or he's in New York City for the Diamondbacks when they're in the World Series, he knew his space. If it's a Sunday afternoon at a Cardinals game, he knew his space. John McCain at Coyotes, if I'm just talking about Coyotes, when I would see him at the Coyotes, it would be the, are they going to get it figured out? And I would tend to be the optimistic one on that space and say, you know what, John, I think this is really going to be the, or the senator, this is really going to be the group that can get it done. I was naive in that front. And then he would say, well, I don't know. So he's hearing things way above my pay grade. He would be hearing things of what was going on behind the scenes. Grant Woods, who I saw speak on Saturday night, I'm going to talk to Jeff Scott about that here in about 5 minutes. Grant Woods, huge sportsman. Grant Woods, John McCain, great leadership within our state, unless you disagree with their politics. Okay, if you disagree with their politics and everything I'm saying, you're just not going to buy into. I'm telling you from a sports standpoint that there was balance there. There was, and I think he fought for things like getting more Super Bowls, getting the Final Four, getting more involved with the national championship game in college football. If you're one of those people that are saying, well, how is this impacting me? Then I guess you don't see the value in having sports come to your market. You don't. And I'm probably surprised you're even watching me at this point because you just don't want to get what sports is all about. Those of you that are into this, I think you get it, right? I always like that about Senator McCain, because trust me, guys, I've come across the political phonies through the years, the guys that just show up or want to come on and talk sports because, well, you're going to reach a different segment. You know, you're going to show that you're involved. It's like, okay, you don't have any intention at all. You don't really watch, but I've got somebody calling trying to push you on me, and that's not happening. So, yeah, I was very sad. I was not surprised at all to see people on freeway overpasses as the hearse came down I-17. I was not surprised to see the helicopters buzzing over it either because it was a big news story. And I'll share more on that. Jeff Scott's going to join us on the other side. We'll have Jeff in studio. Before we do, though, Eric, you and I have been doing this a long, long time, on again, off again, now on again for a long stretch. So you dealt with Senator McCain's people to get him to come on the show. I called you about this on Saturday, but for context sake, he always liked coming on.
He did. He was just very busy, and his schedule didn't always fit our window, whether it be live or taped. But when he was available, yeah, he did like coming on the show.
Yeah.
And he was a great man and an American icon and a great representative for the state of Arizona. I mean, I think a lot of those cliched terms get overused, but certainly not with Senator McCain.
Yeah. Were you surprised with the coverage the last couple of days you've been watching?
No. Nope, I wasn't surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't surprised at all.
Well, we're going to have some coverage on it on the Sports End with Jeff Scott. That's coming up next. Jeff, of course, longtime newsman, one of the leading voices, in my opinion, in Arizona news with Skyview as their news director. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmath. Then Brock Huard. Stay with us. All right, let's go a little bit deeper now into Senator McCain on a sports end of things and just an overall view. There's several voices in the Valley and actually in the state that I respect, but I don't respect them nearly as much as I respect Jeff Scott. Maybe that's because we worked together at Skyview. And maybe it's because Jeff, when I was at KTAR, came across as the consummate newsman, and I've seen him here at Skyview handle all their news. And he was very close with Senator McCain on a number of occasions, had access with him right in the studio. You actually had him. Thanks for coming in.
This studio,
right cheer.
Yep.
He was there.
Yep.
You're here. Didn't wash the chair.
I may have been on the other side.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember how we were furnished in those days. But
Okay, in general, let's just talk in general, and I'll get to the sports side in a minute. When you heard about his passing, or even when you heard life support, because you've been with him so much, what were your thoughts?
Obviously, we knew this was coming. We knew this was coming a year ago. This was not a good prognosis, and he was a very sick man, and he wasn't a young man. So we understood that this day was coming and had prepared, as you would from a work standpoint, all the background information, the old audio archives and lined up interviews and so forth. But when it hits you on a human level, when you actually get the news that he's no longer with us, it's sad. It's sad, obviously, for his family. It's sad for those of us who liked his company. Mm-hmm. But it also, I think, signifies a definite passing of an era, because he has been so much a part of our state and a part of politics and a part of the American picture for 35 years. And it's definitely the passing of an era at a time when he really could be an important presence felt on Capitol Hill. So we'll see who steps up and takes the baton from him. But it was a little bit of a 2x4 between the eyes.
Yeah. You mentioned in his company, you liked his company. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Just very approachable. I think, when I first started in radio in this market, I was a very young man. And he was a little bit older, but new on the political scene. And you could tell that he aspired to bigger and better things. He had just come into the U.S. Senate. And I remember in 1988 accompanying him around New Orleans when he was a delegate with the Arizona delegation at the Republican National Convention the year they nominated George H.W. Bush. And he was one of the featured speakers on the opening night of the convention, and it was going to be his big coming out party, his big first big speech on a national level. They gave him a prime speaking moment. And he sought us local reporters who were there to cover the Arizona delegation out afterward, as opposed to going over to the national media, which struck me, because you would think that that was one moment that you'd wanted to seize the national spotlight as much
sure.
as possible. But he wanted to give us his reaction, and he talked about the fact that he was very impressed by when he got to the key point of the speech, when he was talking about his time in captivity. He said, everybody got quiet, and everybody looked at me, and I could match eyes with them, and I thought it was just so cool. And who talks like that? You know,
yeah.
There wasn't a politician on and off switch on him. I think, when we were able to be in his presence, great sense of humor and a great memory and a man who liked to talk about all things, not just politics, sports, mm-hmm. entertainment, pop culture, your family. That's, I think, why those of us in the media like to be in his company, because he was so unique.
Did you ever have a dust up with him?
No, I did not, to be honest with you.
Did you see people that had dust-ups with
him? Oh, yeah. The dust-ups were pretty legendary, especially people who were in a room with him and trying to negotiate a piece of legislation with him, or if you came down on a side of an issue that, that he was on the opposite side of, he could be very persuasive. But if you ended up crossing him in any way, apparently, like if you had indicated that you would support candidate A and ended up going with candidate B, he could get pretty ticked off at you. I can't remember a time where he wasn't very cordial, very pleasant, and just a pleasure to be around, regardless of where his politics were and where they aligned with yours.
When it came to sports, he scolded me more than dust-ups. It was, why aren't you more supportive? Because, and this was during the Sarver early years of, what are we seeing here? His love of sports, some people did not like that he was so interested in sports because they felt that it was taking away from his job, which I thought was just asinine. You have to have distractions. Tell me about the sports end of things from your dealings with him.
You know, whenever one of our reporters would go out to interview him, I would always give them a sports question to ask at the initial part of the interview because I thought it helped lay the groundwork for a smoother interview. He loved to talk about that. And even though he did take sports very seriously, he didn't take them that seriously to the point where it became the overriding theme of the interview. He, in our last conversation in this studio, he talked about the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, and he talked about the importance of keeping the Coyotes here in the market. Mm-hmm. And he loved to talk about football and boxing and other issues. He was a big sports fan, and I understand from people who were close to him that this is how he spent a lot of his time this past year when he was convalescing at his ranch in Cornville, watching the Diamondbacks. And that really, I think, was cathartic for him with all that he was going through to just relax and enjoy a ball game at night. And he did a lot of that. And we saw him out at sporting events for many, many years, the Suns games and so forth. And he just enjoyed it. But I think he realized the entertainment value of it as well as the importance to the local economy.
I think the Coyotes, Jeff, for him was, for some reason, while they weren't the highest rated or the biggest game in town, for some reason he gravitated more towards that during the Doan era and then all the uncertainty of ownership. Because in his last years, the conversation always was, I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to stay here. Like, it really did bother him and worry him on the hockey front.
He was very close with Shane Doan. And he loved hockey. He also attended a lot of Washington Capitol games when he was back east and Congress was in session. So it was important to him to have the sport here because he loved it. But I think he also took a lot of pride in the fact that this local market was one of the few that had sports teams representing every major professional league. And he was there. He was a fan of college football, pro football, pro baseball, hockey, and the NBA.
Your Facebook, you put up a great post on Saturday night of all of your meetings with him, whether it's in studio or in D.C. Those meetings with him produce some very, very rich content, we like to say in the business. The dialogue that you would have with him, why did it work with you two?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I am one of many people who probably thought they had a really good relationship with Senator McCain, but over the weekend, looking at everyone's Facebook posts and Instagrams and other social media, Twitter and so forth, you come to find out that is there a person in Arizona John McCain didn't get his picture taken with? Is there a person in Arizona who didn't feel when they came in contact with him that they had a good relationship with him? I did, because I covered him for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I really don't think I'm that unique, because if you talk to a lot of people here in the market and elsewhere, they would tell you the same thing. Yeah, I had a very good relationship with Senator McCain. I will tell you one quick story that when we were, my family and I were with the senator in Washington last summer, it was kind of a chance meeting. We were up on Capitol Hill taking a tour of the Senate building, and he wasn't supposed to return from a trip to Afghanistan until late that afternoon. We're standing there talking in the hallway, and from a distance I saw what was unmistakably John McCain's walk down the hallway. We were about 200 yards away, and I took off in a dead sprint to try to catch up to him. Huh. And I did. And he turned around, you know, he heard me calling Senator, Senator, and he turned around, kind of gave me that look like, who's calling my name? And then he realized it was me, and we talked. He said, why don't you come back to the office and we can rehash old times? I said, you know, I have my family with me. I'd love for you to meet them. He said, sure. Came back, introduced himself to my wife, my son, my daughter, and took us into what was a private office that was unmarked. Just off the Senate floor. Not a lot of people knew that he had this office. He said, this is what they give you when you're old, stupid, and senile. And he opened up the door, and there's a fully furnished office with a coffee table and pictures on the wall and a fireplace and so forth and so on. And he took us through all the pictures and explained to my son who Floyd Patterson was. And it was just a really good meeting. And he talked to my son about, what are you doing? He was in just finishing up his freshman year in college. What do you want to do? And talk to him about the virtues of public service. Fast forward, my son changed his major, got an internship here at the legislature of the state capitol, and is looking at a life in public service. That meeting, a chance meeting, had such an impact on him.
Wow, that's tough. That's strong. You sent over a piece of audio for us to play. Can you set that up?
This piece of audio from today is a passage in the closing pages of Senator McCain's last book, The Restless Wave, that he co-authored with Mark Salter, and just kind of sums up how he sees his life in a nutshell.
All right, let's hear that audio.
I've lived very well, and I've been deprived of all comforts. I've been as lonely as a person can be, and I've enjoyed the company of heroes. I've suffered the deepest despair and experienced the highest exaltation. I made a small place for myself in the story of America and the history of my times. What an ingrate I would be to curse the fate that concludes the blessed life I've led.
Wow, that's good stuff. From here this week, from a news side, just fill people in on what it will look like in Arizona this week and where the body will go and from there.
There is a news conference today where a spokesman for the family will be answering questions about the senator's final days, I assume, and what's ahead. Nothing planned publicly tomorrow. It is Election Day. Then on Wednesday, he will lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda here in Phoenix.
Is that open for anybody?
Yeah, it will be. I believe starting late Wednesday afternoon. And he was only the third person in state history to be receiving that honor. There will be a private memorial service on Wednesday, a public memorial service at North Phoenix Baptist Church on Thursday. Then his body will be flown to Washington. He will lie in state in the rotunda on Friday. And there will be a private service on Friday and a public service at the National Cathedral on Saturday. And then he'll be buried near the Naval Academy in Annapolis 1 week from today.
Do you know the time on Thursday for that public service? And what's that going to look like at North Phoenix? It's an enormous church, but obviously it's not going to be near
big enough. I believe it's 11 a.m. I would have to double check and get my time zone straightened out. But former Vice President Biden, who, as you know, is a very close friend of Senator McCain's, is the primary eulogist at that. And they were expecting eulogies from former President Obama, former President George W. Bush on Saturday.
Wow. And you'll be at?
A bunch of them. still figuring out the logistics. It's a little complicated. You know, we don't have a cast of thousands here, but we'll be definitely providing a lot of coverage. And as you can imagine, I mean, I think a lot of us were blown away by the fact when you know someone and you've known someone for so many years, I think you're a little surprised when you see just what an impact he had nationally and internationally, and all the coverage over the weekend. You know, this is a guy we were in a room with, and you know, he's getting the attention of kings and queens. So
yeah, it's good stuff. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks,
it's Jeff Scott. Great stuff over there on Skyview, Skyview Networks, one of the leading voices in Arizona news, in my humble opinion, and others in the business as well. Appreciate Jeff coming in. Brock Huard in about 20 minutes. So the Cardinals, DJ Foster's injury, there's some other ASU players that have signed today with the new football league here in Arizona. We'll get to that. We'll lighten things up. That's on the other side. And then Brock. I'm Brad Sussmat. So last night, I'm sure many of you today are of the mindset that the Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl because they're undefeated in preseason. It's fine. That's why you're a fan. That's why you're a season ticket holder. That's why you have a jersey. That's why you play your fantasy football games and so on and so forth. I'm not going to sit here and talk on and on and on about what happened last night in Dallas, other than DJ Foster's gone for the year. He tore his ACL. We like DJ an awful lot. DJ was not a starter on the Cardinals. Nonetheless, it's a player that we, as being local, we care deeply about. And it stinks that he gets torn up on a game that doesn't matter, that doesn't count, that nobody's going to say in November and December, wow, do you remember that preseason game against Dallas where the Cardinals took the ball away 8 times from the Cowboys, or the Cowboys just figured out a way to turn the ball over, over and over and over? The fact they're 3-0 in preseason in this market probably plays pretty well. In markets like New England, they could care less. In markets like Pittsburgh, they just don't flat care. They are drilling down on who didn't do well in those markets. Here, it's, oh my gosh, the Cardinals are 3-0. And I'm really speaking on the media end of things. Like, there's the cheerleading is full force rather than, let's just be realistic about this. You know, Josh Rosen didn't play last night, didn't get the snaps. Sam was out there. They got Sam out of the way once he got sacked. I was sitting with a group of people that when Sam was in the game, and they said, oh, that's too bad about Josh being hurt. Why is Sam out there? And he gets sacked. And I'm thinking, he's not going to get up off the ground. And it's, this is what they're thinking is going to happen. And they all laughed about it. You know, he gets hit and he gets hurt. He didn't, though, last night. The Patrick Peterson 30-yard pick six was a ball that I would have thrown in a Pop Warner game last night. It wasn't one of the prettier balls that were thrown, but he did what he was supposed to do. There was no David Johnson. There was no Fitzgerald. There were a bunch of starters that didn't play for the Cowboys. All that matters to me is, and even Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth were talking in this game about just how brutal it was. There was no Ezekiel Elliott. They got a picture. NBC got a picture of Ezekiel Elliott yawning on the sidelines, which brought a chuckle from Michaels and Collinsworth late in the game. They had some comments about it was not a thing of beauty, okay? So Thursday night's the final preseason game, and then they get ready for Washington. The DJ Foster injury is the story of the day to me. That's about it. You know, DJ Humphreys struggled in pass protection last night against Gregory. They made a big deal out of that. 16 takeaways in 3 games. I do think there's something to that that you can use as a positive for sure. If you establish yourself as a ball hawking team, that is very good. Those stories today, DJ Calhoun and Mike Bercovici. You wouldn't think I'd be leading a Monday segment, not including them in a segment on Monday. Both those guys are coming out to play for the Alliance football team that will be on the field with Rick Neuheisel in February. So you're going to see more Sun Devils. That's part of the deal. Sun Devils and Wildcats and NAU Lumberjacks that are going to be littered on this team. I guess the question is, with Berko coming on board, where would you find a guy like Johnny Manziel after he's done with the Canadian season? Would you find him in Phoenix? Would that be an option? Would a guy like Rick Neuheisel be able to turn his career around? Brock Huard is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Let's turn our attention out of college football the opening weekend. I'm no offense to Hawaii and Colorado State. It's nothing against New Mexico State and Wyoming, but this is the big weekend. We have Arizona and BYU. We have the ASU game against UTSA. So it's really the start of the Herm Edwards and Kevin Sumlin era. And to put a bow on all things college football, as always, it's good to catch up with Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst, ESPN Seattle. He has his podcast, Above and Beyond, Intersection of Faith and Sports, which I think is terrific. It's good that he has done that. He joins us here for a couple of minutes the day after the Mariners take 2 of 3 here in Phoenix. How are you?
Good morning, friend. I'm doing good. Yeah, you lay that out. It's upon us. Like, we wait. I'm sure you're a little bit like that. This, we kind of hibernate for many months, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, look at everything that is on the platter here. And you mentioned Above and Beyond. Pretty neat. Tomorrow, we're going to release the full Gus Malzahn episode. My producer, James Osborne, he and I went down south during the spring and taped a couple of those podcasts with Gus and Dabo Swinney. And with the Huskies playing Auburn this weekend, we kind of sat on that and waited until this week to release it, and it's a pretty cool one. Gus is a very genuine down-to-earth, humble guy. Hard to root against, but I know the Husky fans out in our market will certainly be doing that. But that'll come out tomorrow.
It's really good, Brock, that you're doing that. It's terrific. I've listened to a bunch of them, and I'm right there with you on your stance and on a lot of fronts. In terms of the game, Auburn-Washington, before we get to other stuff, what do you make out of this one this weekend?
2.5-point favorite, say the guys in the desert for the home team. And let's be very clear, it's not at Auburn down on the plains with the eagle flying around the stadium pregame, but that's the only difference. It's in Atlanta, and it will be 80 to 90% Auburn and SEC fans. So in many cases, it is a home game, and that's why I think they're favored by 2.5 over Washington, which is probably where I would set the line. I think it's a pick 'em. I think it's going to be a fourth quarter game. I think there will be a player or two, possibly in special teams. And if you're a Washington and Chris Peterson fan, that's a little bit of a bummer because those games, both at Boise State and at Washington last year down in the desert, where special teams played such a critical role, have not gone the way of the Huskies. So they're hoping that changes. I really believe, Brad, that this team is built for this season. You've got a senior quarterback who's starting for the fourth year in a row, the first time in program history. Mm. You've got two senior offensive tackles. You got six seniors on defense. So everything is built and scripted for the Huskies to make their run this season, and Saturday will go a long ways in doing so.
You have UCLA and Chip Kelly this weekend. Tell me about that from your standpoint. What are you looking most forward to?
I do. It's a massive unknown, unlike everything I just said to you about Washington, where there's a lot of known factors, and Auburn for that reason as well. There is just a tremendous amount of unknown, and there's going to be a bunch of Bruins out for this game as well. Chip Kelly, I ran into him at Pac-12 Media Days and actually got to break bread and have dinner with him at the function the night before Media Days with the coaches. And he doesn't know what he has. I mean, he's not being coy, even though he likes to play coy. He wasn't being coy. He really does not know what he has in so many of these freshmen that are going to play. Some of the veteran players that will not be eligible for this game are going to be a real bummer for him. But it will mean more young people, more inexperience. Cincinnati's a really average to below average team. So I think it will be a back-and-forth game. And I know that Chip wants his speed to come to life and to be the difference down in the Rose Bowl Saturday night.
We're talking college football. Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst, for a couple of minutes. What do you make out of Kevin Sumlin and Herm Edwards here in Arizona? I think of any state across the country with huge matchups with Michigan State and Houston coming up away from the openers. You look at where these two programs are, Brock. What do you make out of what's going on here in Arizona this season?
You would sure love to see these two programs, if you're in the state of Arizona and a fan of either, win this weekend to set the tone just a little bit for all of the newness, for all of the new system and scheme and teaching and philosophy. The best thing that you can do as a program to get buy-in is to win, and especially win week number one against some opponents that you line up against and say, okay, our personnel is more talented. You know, we got more speed. We got more dynamic athletes. We've recruited pretty well. We have enough pieces in place. I know there's a lot of newness, guys, but I want you to buy in. And the fastest way to buy in is to find some success. So I think for both Herm and Kevin, wins this weekend will go a long ways as to what you just said of what's to come, where it is going to get more difficult. They need to find a way to win this weekend, both of them.
What do you think on these two hires? Were you in favor? I don't know anybody that said, boy, Herm Edwards, what a great, smart hire by Ray Anderson. And yet, Brock, I've sat here and said, okay, Todd Graham averaged 4 conference wins a season the last 3 years. It was time for him to go, in my opinion. And it could have been Kevin Sumlin here, but U of A made a run at him at the last minute. Did you like these two hires? Do you like them coming into the season, or are you questioning them?
I think the Sumlin hired Arizona is a good one. And from what I know, he was very much on the radar and I think very much considered for the Oregon job before the Oregon players had a Rudy Rudiger lay down our jerseys for Mario Cristobal kind of emotional moment that I think swayed some of the decision makers there in Eugene, which to me is never a healthy dynamic when you let the players at 18 to 22 who are emotionally connected make decisions. So I think that was very nearly his job in Eugene and would have made sense there. and equally makes sense down at Arizona. I think he will recruit well. I think he's a guy that's been largely liked by his players. Maybe a couple of the diva quarterbacks that transferred out of A&M would disagree with that. But I think he's a player's coach that has put together a pretty good staff. That, to me, is where the concern a little bit is with Herm. Not a little bit, but a lot. It's just, it's not just about the head coach. He's the guy out in front. He's the CEO. But you have to have a quality staff. You just do. And in this conference, especially where you're Arizona and Arizona State going up against the behemoth, the history and tradition at USC, now Chip Kelly at UCLA, Whittingham, who is going to win seven games a year, and maybe one year pops and gets 9 or 10, which I think could be this season up in Salt Lake City. And then, oh, by the way, up north, I've got Chris Peterson and David Shaw, two of the 10 best coaches in college football. That you better have a pretty elite staff recruiting, teaching, and developing. And that, to me, is where the jury is very much out on Herm down in Tempe.
Heisman Trophy candidate on your ballot, Khalil Tate. Where is he as we come into the season?
Yeah, I think he's top 10. I'm really concerned about him taking care of himself and staying healthy. You know, Brad, I don't do this very much. I don't talk like to guys and say, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. But we had Khalil on set with us at Pac-12 Media Days. And after our segment was over with him, I said, hey, I'm not trying to be like your coach or mentor or anything, but please stay healthy this year and protect yourself. John Gruden would always say that in those QB rooms, right, with Andrew Luck and all the guys through the years as QB draft school. He would say, when you get to the next level, you better protect yourself. You have to protect yourself. And for Khalil, he's going to have an amazingly large target on him. It's a system that's got open edges and a lot of free rushers, and he's going to get hit. He's not a really big guy. I'd be concerned in that new system of him understanding how to protect himself. Protection, ball out, can't be William Wallace on every single play. That will be the concern that I'll have all season long for Khalil Tate. But going in, he's on my top 10 list, as is Bryce Love, and frankly, as is Myles Gaskin, who does not get any of the conversation up in Washington, who will go down as the greatest running back in Washington history, who came back to school like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel did down at Georgia last year for unfinished business, and I think it's poised to have a monster year behind a really good offensive line.
Good stuff. Look at you just laying it out for Myles Gaskin. I like that. As
engine
always.
Number nine. They call him little engine number nine up here in Seattle, and he's a good one, Brad.
As always, I appreciate your time and your insight, Brock. Thanks.
You got it, bud.
Brock Huerd with us, ESPN college football analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat.